For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
You may be seated. May God add his blessing to that fine reading of the holy text, reminding us of the Advent season. Also very prominent in the Handel's Messiah, and for us a blessed text to look at on this Christmas Eve, Lord's Day evening. As we do so, let's pray and ask God for help. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this text that is so precious, that shows us the amazing wonder of the word of God and its accuracy in making prophecies and then fulfilling them perfectly in the Lord Jesus. We pray that you would anoint my lips and the hearts and ears of your people here tonight, that we might be built up in our most holy faith. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What was the most memorable Christmas gift you ever received? For me, probably it was a red Western Auto bicycle that was there as I arrived downstairs and looked around the corner, and there it was. For some of you, it may have been a doll or a toy or an article of clothing. But no matter what it was, it left an indelible impression on you. You probably, to this day, recall it very well. Tonight we're going to explore a bit of the greatest Christmas gift ever given. As you know, this to be the Son of God, Jesus Christ himself, given to us poor sinners. Therefore, it will be our goal to see and appreciate the comprehensive blessing of being given the Christ of God. With this in mind, please turn with me to one verse, Isaiah 9:6, and you have your outline there. The title of this sermon is The Great Christmas Gift. Verse 6a, The Great Christmas Gift Descends Upon Us, D-E-S-C-E-N-D-S, descends. Children, comes down from above. One of the most beloved Christmas carols is O Little Town of Bethlehem, which we often sing at Advent. It goes like this in the fourth stanza. O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell, O come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. The most treasured gift descended to us from heaven. Now, the first sub-point is this. He would be a man for us. For unto us a child is born. The exact order of Isaiah's wording is important to note here. He starts off with the term child, indicating clearly that the gift of God would be that of a human being. Now, let us not miss any of the wonder of this opening line. Observe these points with me. The gift is deeply personal, for unto us. This gift is not detached or remote or mechanical or material. It's eminently personal, designed uniquely for you and for me. In this connection, we're reminded of the words of the angel to the shepherd in Luke 2:11. For there is born to you in this day in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Secondly, the gift is able to relate to us. For unto us a child is born. A child is, by all accounts, a human being. And only a human being, a person, a man, can redeem us from our sin. No animal, no number of animals, no bulls, no goats, no sacrifices can do it. Had to be a man, because only a person, a man, alone, can substitute and represent us before God. Finally, the gift demonstrates God's generosity. A child is born. The father did not hoard his son, keeping him to himself alone. He didn't say, okay, here's this precious being, and I will only have him for myself. No, he shared him with his waiting family on the earth. And incidentally, this is the motive for us to do evangelism. The fact that God shared his son with us, which we celebrate at Christmas time, reminds us that this is what we wish to do with all those outside as well. Being a man, however, would not be completely sufficient. More was necessary. He would be a man for us, and then he would be God for us. Unto us a son is given. The child relates Christ to us. The son relates Christ to God. And again, notice the emphasis that the Lord puts through Isaiah on the words unto us. He says it again, repeating it, making an emphasis, personalized. What we could relate to in the first line, a child is born, we cannot relate to in the second line, a son is given. Human children are born every day, and it's a great thing, and it's a wonder, and we rejoice, and we celebrate. And I love the reaction to the announcement just today about Vinny and Cindy's baby to be born. But divine personages are not given every day. This is a unique event, a one-time thing. Incidentally, this is one of the very first explicit references to the second person of the Trinity, Christ, as the Son of God. The Son would have to be God in order to save us. Nothing less would do. So the great Christmas gift descends upon us. Now let's look at the second part of verse 6. The great Christmas gift reigns over us. Children, it's R-E-I-G-N-S, and it means to rule. Jesus Christ's rule over his kingdom really began at his conception. Therefore, we utter correct theology when we sing the words of the carol, O Come All Ye Faithful, which includes this line, Come and behold him, born the King of angels, or some texts will say ages. And then Joy to the World, which elicits good doctrine when we open with the words, Joy to the world, the Lord is come, let earth receive her king. The government of Jesus Christ has two branches, the church and the state. We will address Christ's rule over his church first. The great Christmas gift reigns over us, providing our righteousness. Verse 6b, and the government will be upon his shoulder. The Hebrew word for government employed only here in verse 6 and again in verse 7 are the only places that word is used in the Old Testament, and it literally means rule or dominion. Jesus' reign over his church and the righteous standing that we as Christians have before God is a direct result of Christ conquering or reigning over our mortal foes. Let's consider for a moment who and what these foes are in Scripture. Well, Christ first conquered Satan for us, not only incidentally in a future sense, but in a past sense. He's done it already, past tense. Revelation 12:10, I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of Christ have come. And the accuser of our brethren has been cast down. Secondly, Christ conquered sin for us. Romans 6:14, for sin shall no longer have dominion over you. For you are not under law, but under grace. Thirdly, Christ conquered our false self for us. Galatians 2:20, for I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And finally, Christ conquered death for us. 2 Timothy 1:10, God's purpose and grace have now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. When we see the government on Jesus' shoulder, we also ought to see all of our sin, our sorrow, and our salvation on his shoulder as well. The great Christmas gift reigns over us, providing our righteousness, and now I'll read that line again, verse 6b, providing our security. And the government will be upon his shoulder. The second way in which Jesus Christ reigns over all is through his rule of the state. We alluded to this in the morning sermon, that by creation he has government rule over all things. Christians need not fear any human ruler because Jesus Christ himself is the ultimate ruler and king of all the kingdoms and reigns and rules and realms of the earth. He sets men up and brings them down. Sometimes he allows men to rule who will be used by him as agents of discipline or punishment. At other times, the godly rule and the righteous rejoice. The King of Kings, born in Bethlehem, has the government universally on his shoulder. And incidentally, never shortchange yourself with regard to that doctrine. To do so is certainly to truncate your Christian life and to make your life less joyful than it ought to be. The great Christmas gift descends upon us, reigns over us. Verse 6b, the great Christmas gift embraces us. The great names given to the Son of God demonstrate so clearly to us that this blessed Savior is the only one who can meet all of our needs. In just one verse, if you will, one third of one verse, you have an enormous amount of amazing theology just found in the words that describe this man born in Bethlehem. We may understand here either four or five appellations or names or titles given to the Messiah. If we opt for five, as the King James and New King James versions do, we separate the words wonderful and counselor and make them two separate titles. If we choose to go with four, we understand wonderful to modify as an adjective the noun counselor, and we harmonize with the other three titles. And in all candor, that is my preference, but if you hold to the other, it's not a problem. The great Christmas gift embraces us with his wisdom. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor. As you probably know, names in the Bible characterize the person about whom they speak. Hence the great significance of these titles applied to Christ. Wonderful Counselor brings to our minds the work of the Holy Spirit, about whom we read in John 14:6 that he is the counselor, the helper, the one called alongside to assist us. The reason Jesus is called the Wonderful Counselor, you might say, wait, isn't that the role of the Holy Spirit? Well, this is important because the reason he can be called the Wonderful Counselor is because he is in the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit is in him, as all three members of the Trinity are universally within each other, corresponding with each other. How often we need the wisdom that only God can provide. You will need it tonight. You'll need it tomorrow. You will need it every day of your life. Let us listen then to the wise and perfect counsel of God given in his word, emblazoned on our hearts by the Wonderful Counselor. The great Christmas gift embraces us with his wisdom and now with his power. His name will be called Mighty God. The Lord Jesus Christ possesses all power. Here are his own words taken at the end of his earthly walk here before his ascension, found in Matthew 28:18. Where he said, all authority or power has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Profound statement. A Savior, think about this with me, a Savior who is kind and compassionate, but not strong or powerful, would not be able to help us at all. He could feel sorry for us. He might pity us. He might have a sense of our misery, but he couldn't do anything about it. But this text says that he is a mighty God. This name strongly affirms the divinity of Jesus Christ. You and I need power. We need help. We can't do this Christian life on our own. We can't do anything on our own. Go to the mighty God, the Lord Jesus, for all your strength. The great Christmas gift embraces us with his wisdom, with his power, and now with his covenant. His name will be called Eternal Father. Again, this title reminds us of another person of the Trinity, namely the Heavenly Father. As in Wonderful Counselor, the reason this name can be applied to Christ is because he is in the Father as the Father is in him. Jesus affirmed this truth many times in his earthly ministry. I'll refer to John 17:21, which simply says as much. The designation Eternal Father makes us immediately think of Christ as the fulfillment of the new covenant and all the blessings that accrue to us through it. The covenant God is a church family relationship that revolves around the head of the family, the Lord Jesus Christ, the covenant of God. In this Advent season, aren't you glad that you're a member of the family of God? He's the Father. Well, who is he the Father of? Is he the Father of every human being, as some people think? No, by creation he is, but not by covenant. By covenant, he is the family of, or the head, if you will. Jesus is the head of his church, and he is in the Father, and you are in him as well. The great Christmas gift embraces us with his wisdom, with his power, with his covenant, and finally, with his comfort. His name will be called Prince of Peace. The Messiah himself said this in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." The Prince of Peace was sung about by the angels at his nativity with the memorable words of Luke 2:14. "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men, on whom his favor rests." Without Jesus Christ, dears, we will never have peace. We may seek it all over the globe, within our souls, anywhere the world may offer, but there will be no peace without him. Only the Prince of Peace can bring true and lasting solace and contentment. The gospel invites us to share in the joyous peace given by Jesus. And Paul wrote this in Romans 5:1. "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Have we this Lord's Day, this joyful season, appreciated and blessed by the atonement, the blood sacrifice of that one born in Bethlehem? Beloved, in conclusion, do you remember my question at the outset about your favorite Christmas gift of all time? Where do you suppose a lot of those things are today? My guess is that my old Western Auto red bicycle is probably rusted into oblivion long ago. There is, however, a gift whose value never diminishes and whose luster never fades. And this is the gift of God's own dear, sweet, blessed, and beautiful Son. Let's pray and ask him for his blessing. Father, thank you for Jesus. Help us, yes, to appreciate subordinate gifts, Lord. They are an expression. They're a reflection. They're our means of being creative and following your lead in showing love for each other. And it's important. But may we never forget what really counts and what's really important. And the only gift that's truly satisfying in every possible way and never, ever fades, dies, goes away, or in any way is diminished. That being that perfect gift of your Son. Thank you for sharing him with your people, your church here on earth. May we always, Father, have that desire to share him with those outside. And may you be exalted in us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.